In the 1930s, Karl Tanzler left Germany and his wife and two children to search for the vision of true love that once appeared to him in a childhood dream. Upon landing in Key West, Florida, he rebaptized himself Count Karl von Kossel, claimed to be not just a count but also a scientist, and secured employment as a quote-unquote doctor in a tuberculosis sanitarium. Lo and behold, along came his childhood vision of true love, the very young, very sick, and soon to be very dead patient, Elena Milagro Hoyos. Her death did not deter him, however, from marriage and many years of happy cohabitation, living with her deceased remains in a marital and conjugal state in the heat of pre-air-conditioned Key West. This, believe it or not, is a true story, and in its extreme gothic nature, it is easy to distance ourselves from it. But Elena Hoyos was not a dead body in a wedding dress. She was a real girl and woman. And until now, we have known almost nothing of who she really was, before Karl turned her into what he wanted her to be. Mason Holding's latest show, Consumption, was inspired by the disturbing true story of Karl von Kossel and Elena Hoyos. As part of the development of Consumption, we researched Elena's story, reaching out to historians and scouring the few remaining bits and pieces that reveal anything of her brief life before Karl von Kossel exhumed her corpse, posthumously married her, and installed her in his home. Our research revealed, of course, a very real girl and woman, not a grotesque spectacle, property of a delusional pseudoscientist. In the interest of breathing life back into her memory, Mason Holdings is honored to share selections from The Lost Diaries of Elena Hoyos, starting in 1925, when she was still a healthy teenager, up until her death in 1931. FYI, though Elena was bilingual, she was part of the Cuban-American community and spoke and wrote mostly in Spanish. So we have translated all of her writing to English, but some of the idioms and colloquialisms can be only awkwardly approximated. On the title page of her diary, she writes, "Property of Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos, born July 31st, 1909. If found, please return to the hands of Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos. 13 Watson Street, Cayo Hueso, one block from the White Street trolley stop near the corner of Virginia Street. You will receive a large reward. Two trespassers. St. Catherine is my patron saint. Also, the Santera could easily take any old chicken by the neck and turn you dead." That's on the first page. Then Elena skips two pages to begin. "Today, July 31st, 1925, my birthday of 16 years, brings me you, my wonderful new diary. I will fill you with all my events and be faithful not to forget. When I am an old woman, I will read my life and never be lonely or boring. Today was like this. The day started very ordinary. Father was home from the factory and sat the whole day smoking his pipe. Mother was shuffling back and forth with her big knife, inside and outside, counting her chickens. Then she changed her mind and put Auntie's salted pig in the pot with the beans. I cleaned and soaked the beans and chopped all the onions like I always do. Celia did not help, of course, and Florinda also did not help, of course. Rising early gets the clear water, and my sisters are the shrimp that sleep on the current and stink and die on the hot sand. God forgive me, but that is just a joke that is also true. The cousins are the same old shrimp and do not help Auntie or anyone. But at noontime, they smell our big pot from their porch, and all their lazy arms and legs come running. Then Mother remembered my special day. Everyone kissed me and wished me happiness. Mother gave me 5 cents to see Rudolph Valentino at the Strand. I was so very happy. I am still in love with Mr. Rudolph Valentino, and I am sicker and sicker with it every day. I sent him my picture last month, all the way to Hollywood, but I have not gotten his letter yet. I know if he knew my heart, he would walk me down Symington Street and buy me the most beautiful ring. I would like to have a real wedding, like a movie. I squeezed Juliet's hand, and she squeezed my hand, too, as soon as we saw him. His picture was called Cobra, and showed all the tall buildings of New York City. Rudolph V was terribly poor, but then he fell in love with a beautiful movie star. I cannot remember her name, but she was not actually the most beautiful, and I was surprised for that. But still, my heart felt broken to see them together. When the curtain closed, we cried and could not stop until Juliet said she wanted to give me something with the money from all her sewing work in her mother's shop. I saw in her purse and could not believe how rich she was. I felt badly to let her buy me something. But then, on Symington, we saw you, the dark red leather diary in the window of Farrington's. We were too afraid to go in, but then we pretended to be the fashionable ladies, and Juliet went up to the shopkeeper with all her coins. We came home, and then all the cousins came like a stampede from La Libertad. They were doing all their loud dancing, laughing, and stirring up the dust from every corner. Mother says they must be rum runners to have the money to go to La Brisa every week. And they ride the trolley home, too. Florinda was wearing my blue smock dress, and Celia was again sleeping in my bed. Why is mine never just mine? Even on my birthday, my sisters take and take and take whatever they can grab. The cousins finally left with the broken chicken for Auntie. Father asked me to sing La Bella Mesa while he had his last pipe. His indigestion was very bad tonight, and he was passing gas to kill rats. Then he said I sing like a bird. Father does not flatter, so I suppose this was his birthday gift to me. There is one more thing that is dangerous to say, but I will tell you anyway. Last Saturday, Louise took me dancing at La Brisa, and then walked me behind the big bougainvillea to where no one could see. He put his hands on my dress, and I did not stop him. I do not know why. God, please forgive me. My mouth couldn't find any words, and my arms would not move. Juliet says she is afraid he is a rounder, and she says a girl's reputation is more valuable than gold. When Louise comes next Saturday to take me out, I do not know what I will do. I pretend to be a child, but that is not really true anymore now. I do not know which side I am on now, the child side or the woman side. Louise will come again tomorrow. I am very afraid. Good night to my new dearest confidante.